Hey guys, welcome back to the Lore Lodge. We're having some issues with our camera right now, which, you know, of course we are, because when are we ever not having issues with our camera or our microphone or something else? But I also am currently the only one here because this Sunday has been a complete disaster. But as the title of this video suggests, what I'm going to be talking about this evening is the concept of multiple dimensions and how this applies to things like Missing 411 and religion and skinwalkers and all of the many things that interact with this sort of multidimensional planar idea. Now, in its purest sense, this is actually something that science is beginning to recognize and to believe in, because we've started to detect things that we can't quite explain outside of the belief that maybe we are living in a multidimensional reality. Now, that does sound in some ways like we're talking about fourth dimension versus third dimension. That's not really the case. And to be perfectly honest with you, the idea of fourth dimensional reality as opposed to third dimensional reality confuses the hell out of me, and I don't understand it in any legitimate way. Also, Archie just made his appearance known. He's at my feet. And our other host is walking in. Maybe he can help me with the camera. But I wanted to give you guys an idea of what we're talking about. Archie, be quiet. Hang on. And we're back. And Aiden just walked in with a bunch of coffees. What?
Are we live?
We are live, yeah. Part of the problem with us being live is that I can't get the camera to widen because it refuses to connect on my phone. So the current image that we have is just me. So you're welcome to come sit right
just,
here if
I'll
you
just,
want.
That's
or okay, just getting them out of here before
fine.
You spill them on everything. Jesus Christ!
I'm having a day.
I can see that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm at the point where so many things have gone awry that I'm no longer frustrated. I just have to laugh. So. Hello, Archibald.
What's up, guys? So do you want to move the microphone
yes.
into a position
hi,
where
please
both of us are visible?
Yes.
Or audible?
Ow.
Yeah, let's do that.
And yeah, the people want Archie, so.
Come here, bud. Come on.
I mean, that's generally the way
there
it goes.
There we go. Here he is. If you want to try and do something with the camera, I don't know.
I'll do a thing.
Don't bother about the lighting. We're live right now.
I'm doing this.
Oh. What are you doing with that?
I think I'm done with that.
Well, you guys are about to witness some camera angle bullshit live, so that's fun.
Yeah,
this is not going to work. Well, now you're just looking at the checkerboard that is our wall.
We're working on it. I need the Bible. Give me information.
You guys are getting a whole view. Okay, all right. Well, now my head is very tiny and visible at the bottom of the screen. The top of the monitor is currently visible. Well, now I'm not even in frame. Okay, down. This way. More. About as wide as it's gonna get.
Fine.
So, where were you today? Where did you wake up this morning?
I woke up in New Franklin, Ohio. Just south of Akron, north of Canton.
How was that?
You know, Ohio was surprisingly good.
All right, you're fired.
everybody,
leave the premises.
Everybody was joking that somehow
finding
found
a new Aiden.
God, there are too many Aidens. No, surprisingly enough, we were all joking about the fact that we found the one place in Ohio that was actually like enjoyable.
Okay.
But it had largely to do with the family that we were staying with. They had a lot of like cool things and stuff. I'm pointing that down more because it's bothering me.
The hell was behind me that I couldn't move this chair?
Yeah, so I drove, and I wasn't in the car. I drove for about 8 hours today, 6.5 for that drive, and then just other driving around here. That's a little too low.
Yep.
And the main reason that it was so stressful of driving and things like that is because I had to get 4 hungover men out of bed at 9:30 this morning so I can get home in time for my father's birthday dinner.
Was it that the men were hung and also over, or were they hung over?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
It is Pride Month after all.
Is that what you were celebrating?
Absolutely. We were all thoroughly celebrating Pride Month all weekend long. And then
I don't want to know the details of this excursion at all.
No, it was fantastic. Anyway, And then got home, got all of my things together, then got on 76 and realized I forgot the letter I was going to give my dad for his birthday, so I had to find a solution to that, which I did. And then dinner was great, and then here, and then I had to go to Wawa, and then for some reason, apparently I looked very friendly today, because I had about four different people stop me and talk to me at Wawa, while I was already on the phone.
People you knew?
No, strangers. Oh. People asking me about Ohio, because they heard me on the phone, talking to a friend of ours who needed a vent about work, and then... somebody asked me about my car, which I normally really love, but when I'm already running late, it's kind of hard, and I really hate being rude, so, you know, those things. But yeah, I'm here, late, sorry.
It's fine. Okay.
Anyway.
Iz says that I'm her favorite Aiden now, because you liked Ohio.
Alright, well.
look what you've done.
That's a shame.
This is what you get for enjoying horrible things.
Lexi screamed at me over text, because she was like, the one weekend I'm not there! It was funny.
She's going to be down this way in like a month.
Really?
Yeah.
God knows where the hell I'll be.
Because we're supposed to have a reunion for camp. But anyway, now that we've bullshitted our way through the first 10 minutes.
Yes. I think it's fun to do that.
I decided that we're going to talk about all the different kinds of multidimensional things that we've discussed in recent episodes. From Skinwalker Ranch to the possibility of people slipping into... you know, parallel dimensions and ending up across the country, like with that one missing 401 guy whose name always escapes me. The one who was in New York and then ended up in San Francisco or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, the guy from... Was that in the 70s or was that...
That was recent.
That was more recent,
yeah.
When he had the ski goggles still on, yeah. And he had a haircut. And
yeah,
weird.
Very weird. But I wanted to get into that. Because there's just... this seems to be one of the more consistent elements of these stories is the idea that what's going on is taking place not in... our dimension is not the result of strangeness within our world, but rather leaving our world and then re-entering it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a few different versions of this I want to talk about. I think the one I want to jump into at the end is Skinwalker Ranch, because that's probably the most well-known one. But I do want to work it back through a couple of other things, which include those cases with the guy who went missing in New York and ended up in over on the West Coast.
Yeah.
The Celtic idea of the seed... and as well as the Norse idea of Yggdrasil and some of the other ones from around the world that have gone into this format, this type of story that we keep coming across where something is completely inexplicable, whether it is Jim McGrogan going missing from a trail and then appearing miles away in a position that he really shouldn't have been in, whether it is the people coming in and out of portals at Skinwalker Ranch or the Voyage of Bran where... this Irish explorer goes and takes a crew of men across the Western Sea to a bunch of different islands, and then when he comes back, they all turn to dust.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I just looked at the chat, and that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Come
more this way, so they can see you a bit better.
Okay. Somebody did say, hold on, Aiden goes to Ohio to celebrate Pride Month with four other men. They got very drunk during the party celebrating Pride Month. Aiden, are you hiding something?
Well, it wasn't just four men. There was a large group of people there, but there was a man...
Even more men?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And there was a lot of wrestling last night, shirtless wrestling last night, so it was interesting. I have videos.
You and I had very different nights last night.
Yeah.
Like, extraordinarily different nights.
I got choked by a Spanish man last night, as did most of the people there.
I didn't.
Well, was last night the...
Yeah, we had a show last night.
I wasn't sure if it was that. At the time...
I did not fall off of a box this time.
Good. Yeah,
yes,
this time
I survived.
I'm upset I've been out of town
both
times.
It's okay. We're going to be butt buddies next weekend in New York.
It'll be wonderful.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, and I think this is a good time to introduce this, Aiden and I are headed up to New York next weekend to just north of Albany. Because we are going to investigate the disappearance of Thomas Messick. We're going to be speaking to, hopefully some park rangers who were involved in the search and rescue effort. I spoke with a lieutenant earlier this weekend about his experience with the case and the way in which it was oriented, the way it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
I got some interesting contradictions with the Missing 411 The Hunted documentary. For example, so far, nobody has been able to confirm to me that the FBI showed up.
Interesting.
Which, I will point out, if the FBI told law enforcement not to say anything about the FBI showing up...
they have reason to not say anything.
Yeah. They would not say anything. So that's why I want to talk to some locals and hopefully get people who were involved in the search to spill the beans on what they were involved with.
Yeah.
I did get some cool details, though. We'll go into the full details of it when the documentary releases in July. We also plan to do multiple of these, so this is not going to be a one-off thing, assuming it does well enough to justify the resources, because this is probably going to be the most expensive episode we've shot yet.
Oh, absolutely.
Because gas money and food and motels and equipment, just it's going to be definitely a much more intense thing. Becca says she's going to need a Supernatural-esque road trip video. You don't even know how Supernatural-esque this is going
to
be.
So this to elaborate a little bit more on the format of it without giving too much away, we will be paying homages, and it will be... The goal is that we want to do this roughly once a month if we can... So we're doing a test run, essentially, with this. And we want to see how feasible it is, how difficult it is to do exactly what we want this to be.
And if people even have interest.
And if people have interest, obviously. But ideally, we'd like to make this a more long-form, kind of informative adjacent, in the sense of there's still some documentary elements to it. But there are some other elements to it that are going to be a little bit more on the entertainment side, which we hope you would enjoy. Yeah.
I do want to make it clear that at no point will any of the... skit style stuff contradict reality.
No.
This is gonna what you're gonna be seeing is sort of a dramatized documentary style, but all of the facts are going to be 100%.
Yeah.
Anything that we say that we state it as fact, that is a factual thing. That is something we were able to confirm.
Yep.
You know, we're not making stuff up about the weather. We're not gonna say that, you know, like if I can't confirm with anyone that the FBI was there, we're not going to say that the FBI... The only thing we'll say about it is that David Politis said the FBI was there, but we couldn't confirm it.
All of the information will be true, and all of the information and elements regarding the actual case itself we will be taking seriously, because we want to respect the case itself and, you know, those involved. But we wanted to frame it in a way that can be entertaining and, you know, enjoyable to an audience on a serial basis.
I will say, I... have not gotten a response from the FBI.
No.
I got a response from the Sheriff's Department in Warren County in about less than 24 hours. PJ, hey, buddy. How you doing? I reached out to the Sheriff's Department, got a response immediately. Reached out to the Forest Service, got a response immediately.
Nice.
Reached out to the State Police, have not heard back. But that doesn't surprise me at all. The FBI, however, I called them 2 weeks ago. Not a peep. I gave them my name, my email address, my phone number, told them the name of the channel, told them that if they want to check us out, you know, to make sure that we're not trying to get them in some sort of sting, like this isn't a political thing.
Did you leave a message? Or did you
I left a message.
Okay, but you didn't actually speak.
I spoke to one guy
okay.
who transferred me.
Got it.
And then I left a message. I am going to call again tomorrow to see if I can get a hold of the woman who I was told to speak with. But I did find that odd that there was just this kind of complete... We were just being ignored, you know?
Yeah.
So... Flow Cage says Lore Lodge sub is cheaper.
Then what?
I think than doing a super chat, because it's $5 a month.
Oh,
and you get a free super chat. I don't know how common they are, though. But I did make that a perk that you can get free super chats. I should expand that. We weren't sure what we were going to do because YouTube takes such a huge percentage and doesn't offer a ton in terms of fulfillment of benefits. So, for example, on Patreon, if you sub to the Patreon and you sub to a tier that actually has like a mug or a mini print or something like that, that's fulfilled by Patreon. So I designed those. I sent them in. Patreon handles the orders, takes it out of our balance and all of that. Super easy. Patreon also only takes 11% of your income as their commission. Totally understandable, and I have no problem giving Patreon 11% considering what they do. What?
How large is your gas tank, man?
It might be. He also might need premium.
I know that pain.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's kind of how that breaks down. But if, you know, it seems like the YouTube memberships are actually getting more popular, so maybe we'll throw into there.
That's nice. What's the, I know...
Oh, subs are cheaper than gas. Yeah, that's very true. if that's what you meant, yeah, 100%. Yep. Yeah. For the price of just 1 gallon of gas, you can support 2 24-year-olds.
Doing our best.
We are trying.
We are making an attempt.
Simply making an attempt at existence.
Let us know how well we're doing by supporting.
Yeah. Okay, so that covered way more not stuff I wanted to talk about than I anticipated.
Well, at least 49 people like just watching us speak.
Exactly. It's nice.
We appreciate the fact that you appreciate
us. One of whom is the drummer in the band I play in.
Love it. Love it.
Which is great. But yeah, so I want to dive right into this now that we've killed some time and done kind of our intro segment here. Also, we may be getting a super, super, super exciting guest on the show. For those of you who are into horror narrations, I am in touch with the Dark Somnium. He is one of the bigger narrators for creepypastas and whatnot on YouTube. He's one of my favorites by far of everybody I listen to. He's got an incredible voice for narration.
Yeah.
And the he's a voice actor professionally. So he does just such a good job with his pacing, his tone. He gets other voice actors involved, and it's just, he does such a good job. He is 100% who got me into thinking about doing some sort of thing like this channel. So I reached out to him, and I didn't expect to even hear back, and he got back to me the same day. So I don't have an actual date or anything for it yet, but I'm hoping that he's going to, be able to follow through with that. I know he's a busy guy. But yeah, so that makes me really excited because it's been a long time since I got to, you know, bring somebody onto the channel that has been that kind of an influence on it. So, and I would like to get more guests flown back in. I want to bring on a Catholic priest to talk about exorcisms.
Because
we said we were going to do that. Yeah, we just never made it happen. Yeah, we just got to make it happen.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, so definitely want to do that. I also want to do, as we get into the latter half of the year, I want to start bringing in some people to talk about demonology and exorcism from other religions.
Could you imagine if we could get a bishop on here? That'd be wild.
Oh, that'd be sick. But yeah, you know, so Catholic priests I'd love to get. I'd love to get a Protestant, probably like a Baptist pastor, since that's the biggest American Protestant church. And then on top of that, I'd love to get a rabbi in. Would love to get, like, I don't know if there are really Buddhist monks in the U.S., but...
How fun would it be to host a debate between a rabbi and a priest?
That would probably be horrible.
It'd be terrible, but it'd be fun.
I don't think I would enjoy that.
That'd be good if they were too...
Also, I will say, Alien just said, if the Aidens ever let me on the show, we are going to get back into doing Lore Lounge. It's kind of been a rough few weeks with me being in the band and everything and trying to figure out how my Saturday schedules work.
We both have very, very hectic schedules lately.
Because when the band has a show on a Saturday, I got to be at the venue 2 hours before the show, so I'm usually at the venue by 8, and then we're setting up for 2 hours, which means that we'd have to do Lore Lounge way earlier in the day.
Yeah.
So we just got to get it kind of figured out. Mr. Creeps read one of my stories, so I'm kind of biased. Okay, fair enough. And Time Traveler 170 asks, is there any place in Minnesota I should not go to when I travel there next month? Okay, so here's the deal. Basically anywhere in the world that you travel, if you believe in the supernatural, there's something there. if you don't believe in the supernatural, there's also still probably something you should worry about. The important thing to understand when you're traveling, when you're going camping, when you're going hiking, backpacking, anything, you've got to remember that the most important thing here is to be prepared for the natural that's out there. Because bobcats, vicious. Bears, big problem. Wolves, not fun to encounter. So take the same precautions you would take for any wild animal, and then if you're concerned about supernatural stuff, bring along, you know, a pendant on your neck made out of cedar wood or sandalwood. Keep a little bag of sage with you. There's a lot of kind of like universal wards for things. So if you bring something that's silver, if you bring some sage, some cedar wood, and white ash, that's basically all of the key stuff for anything in the U.S. In Minnesota, in terms of the folklore of what's actually up there, that is not too far away from Wisconsin and Michigan, both of which have the Dogman legend. It's also within Algonquin territory, which puts it well within the area that the Wendigo would supposedly inhabit. I mean, you know, I'll have to look into some more Minnesota-specific stuff. We have been meaning to do the book, but I cannot take the time off work to write the book. So,
yeah.
It's kind of on the back burner until I am able to write full time, which, you know, maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't, but we'll have to see.
Time will tell. Yeah. For a very concise way, basically boiling down what he just said, just keep situational awareness high, and in general, even before you go, just be prepared within reasonable means.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're wild camping or hiking, especially if you're going alone, carry a gun if you're allowed to. Like, the number of times that I've heard stories of people going out somewhere and getting attacked by a bear or a mountain lion or wolves or something, where even just firing a rifle into the dirt would have fixed the problem because they were scared of guns,
mm-hmm.
is way too high.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that should absolutely never happen, because it's just, you know, and I've heard people who, like, hike the Appalachian Trail and stuff, and are like, oh, you really can't add the weight. If you can't carry an extra pound and a half, like, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Like, train to be carrying the extra pound and a half.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite anecdotes about this kind of thing is that in ancient Rome, the soldiers would practice with heavier weapons than what they were going to be using in combat,
mm-hmm.
so that they wouldn't get as tired.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the swinging or the force or being able to lift it, like, for one or two strokes. It was, you're going to be in battle for several hours at a time, so you better train with something way heavier,
yeah.
so that when you're stabbing with your actual gladius, you're not getting tired.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Becca, you are in a bit of a exception there with the dog.
To be fair, how much of a guard dog is Solo, really?
At this point. I think Archie might be a more effective guard dog.
Yeah, Archie's got that, like, small boy anger,
yeah.
when it comes to canines.
Bear spray is also a good option. I don't know if it works on other animals, though.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about bullets. They work on everything.
They're not They're not selective on what they're applicable for.
Yeah, and if you tip them with white ash, they work on supernatural stuff, too.
There we go.
Just
hog around a 45-70 with you.
Yeah, just bring a handgun full of silver bullets coated in white ash. You have covered all of your bases. You know? Everything's handled.
Do you have a recommended caliber?
I have my handgun's 40.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Man, we are not on track this episode at all.
Not even close.
It was never going to go well because of just how this day went.
Yeah.
No, for me,
you been having a day too?
Yeah. I have a 40. I got that because it is, in my opinion, the best mix of stopping power and capacity.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine also the third angle of that triangle being like minimal recoil with. I'm not saying minimal, I'm saying like you're not getting ridiculous recoil.
You're not getting the recoil you get on a 45 or a 50, yeah. but it's still it kicks.
I would imagine,
But yeah. Do you burn the white ash so it can coat? So not white ash as in the tree, white ash as in white ashes from a fire.
Yes.
I've heard both of these, but I think your best bet would be to go with white ash from a white ash. Because I can't confirm which of the two it is, who I talk to.
Good luck finding a white ash naturally nowadays.
Yeah, you'd probably have to order the wood.
Yeah, shame. Also, salt round's good for ghosts as far as we're aware of, but I don't know beyond the applicability of that.
So, interestingly, when it comes to things like salt and fire, the reason those two things are ubiquitous throughout culture and place and time... Salt and fire are both used in purifying meat.
Yep.
So it is absolutely no surprise that salt and fire would be the two things you go to when it comes to purifying anything.
Silver, similarly.
Yeah, silver is also, it basically rejects rust and, you know, other impurities.
Well, it also has antibacterial properties.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So silver, you know, is, basically if you look back at all of this, this is what I love to... What I love to talk about on this channel, especially though, is like almost anything that you find that you're like, ah, that's not real, you can trace it back to something that sure as hell was.
Yeah. So even if you don't believe in any of the supernatural element, you can at least go back to the natural origin of how it started.
At some point, there was something there. Yeah. You know, for example, one of the explanations I've heard for the dogmen, the adlet of the Inuit peoples, is that they, because they appear, in the couple hundred years after Viking colonization of Greenland.
Yeah.
The Vikings had stories of berserkers. Men who would go off into the wilderness and either connect with the spirit of the bear or the wolf, something like that. They would wear its pelt in battle. Mm. They would get hopped up on all sorts of psychedelics. And then they would just go into battle absolutely insane and animalistic. So if you look at, you know, the timing of the creation of the Adlit legend with when the Vikings were in Greenland, it's entirely possible that the dogmen were Vikings wearing wolf clothing, or that it was something that they heard from the Vikings about, something like that. So, you know, it might not be that there's something entirely supernatural out there, but even if there's not, it's extremely interesting to actually go and look into the story behind it and to come to grips with it and understand it, which is why when it comes to the Uncanny Valley, I'm of the opinion that, yes, that comes from us being hunted by something that was similar to us way, 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 way in the past.
Yeah.
But obviously we're never going to really have an answer for that unless we
try it.
If you another thing that people don't really grasp very well is the extent to which humans have exploded in population. I talked about this with Wendigoon on the Weird Bible podcast the other day. If you look back at the Book of Exodus and the Jewish enslavement in Egypt, a lot of people will ask the question, you know, why isn't this recorded in Egyptian records? Why did the Egyptians not write this down? This would have been a massive exodus of an entire class of slaves.
Yeah.
If it happened, it absolutely would have been written down. And if you go and you watch movies that cover Exodus and documentaries, if you get to the part where Moses is parting the Red Sea, if you actually like look at the numbers of people in those movies, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The Bible says that when Jacob went into Egypt, he only came with 70 people. That were all his family. It was his children and their families. Basically, down to their grandchildren, Jacob's grandchildren. So by the time 400 years later that the Jews would have been leaving Egypt, there would only be a couple thousand of them.
Yeah.
Because you're only four or five generations in.
Yeah.
So people, think about that and then apply that to basically anything you've ever thought of. You're probably overestimating how many people were there. People like to think that medieval battles had tens of thousands of soldiers on each side. Because you go and you look at the troop numbers from the 30 Years' War, or from the Revolutionary War, or the 7 Years' War, and you've got tens of thousands of soldiers on each side.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if you look at the Great Northern War between Russia and Sweden, at the Battle of Poltava, which was this hugely consequential battle, the Swedes only brought 25,000 men. The Russians had about 40,000. So it's not... These are not these huge battles that you seem to think of when you look at Hollywood. Early medieval battles in the 800s and the 900s, if you had 3,000 men on one side, that was a huge army.
Really?
So take that and then go look back at prehistory.
Yeah.
We're not talking about communities or villages of several thousand. We're talking about the most people you'd ever see in one place would be a couple hundred. And that would have been, like, up until the point where agriculture was the norm.
Yeah.
That would have been extraordinarily rare. Even when we look at later nomadic groups, like the Huns and the Mongols.
Yeah.
Those are giant confederations of thousands of tribes.
Really?
Yeah. So these were hunter-gatherer, nomad, semi-agricultural communities, usually pastoralists who would have sheep or yaks or something like that that they would drive. And you'd have clans of 15 to 50 people. And then when you get these mass migrations, like with the Mongols and with the Huns, which, again, a lot of people don't realize those are almost 1,000 years apart. The timescales in history that people don't quite grasp are insane. So you've got the Mongols and the Huns, and we're going to need to rename this video. 100% going to need to rename this video. I will get Skinwalker Ranch, but we're going to need to rename this video.
That's fine.
where was I?
The Mongols.
So when you go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, your largest communities are going to be 100, 200 people.
When did
for there to be something that would... Think about it this way.
Yeah.
the population, for whatever, scared the hell out of our ancestors so bad that today we still have a fear.
Mm-hmm. Just instinctually, yeah.
Instinctually of things with sunken eyes and longer faces and pale skin. You'd only need a couple dozen of those to terrorize early humanity into having a genetic fear.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's also, there's I've seen a suggestion, I can't find evidence of it, but I've heard it tossed around, mm-hmm. that there was a point at which human populations bottlenecked at about 1,000 people. I don't know how we would know that.
Per region or just overall?
That was overall before we left Africa, supposedly.
Got it, okay.
I will also say out of Africa has been facing more and more tension lately. It looks like it might not hold up to the extent that we thought it was. That it might look more like, yes, humans did originate in Africa, but did not evolve into Homo sapiens in Africa. We don't know.
Okay.
But...
I mean, archaeology is literally just about trying to find answers that
haven't been found yet. Exactly. So it's there's questions. I'm not saying out of Africa is wrong. I'm just saying, you know, it's important that people be aware that there is nuance to all of this, and there's... I hate the term historical fact.
Because we will never have enough context to genuinely know whether something was definitively a quote-unquote fact. Mm-hmm. Also, real quick, when exactly was it that walled cities began to be, not necessarily constructed, but began to be a little bit more commonplace?
So, walled cities are actually something that we see rise and fall of.
Okay.
And
I know they fell out of favor once...
They start after populations explode.
Okay. Well, I think it makes sense.
Yeah. So, around 10,000 years ago, around 8,000 BC, mm-hmm. is when we start to see agriculture really take off and kind of just explode, and human populations go from 50 to 100 people in any one area to several thousand.
Yeah.
And then, as you have several thousand people in one spot, eventually there's actually not enough resources, but they have the technology.
Yeah.
So they take people and they send them somewhere else.
We have the technology.
Yeah, and they go, and what they would do is that you would have, you know, well, don't sit right under the chair leg, dude. So what you saw was groups of a couple hundred settlers,
mm-hmm.
and the way the Greeks did this was they would send all men at first, most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and those people would go and pacify the territory, build the city, and then you'd send women and children.
Yeah.
And it was the same idea going back even further. And what you had was walled cities would usually follow a couple hundred years of development.
Mm.
And you would have those pop up as one group who was over here had their city and their land, and there was no other place to go.
Yeah.
So that's when you start to see war happen. Because originally, you would have a city here, and then for thousands of miles in any direction, nothing.
Yeah.
But over time, around, 3000 BC, that's when things start to get a little bit more dense. And you start to see that there really isn't anywhere to send people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start to see human conflicts. Like, large-scale armies marching, that kind of human conflict. And walled cities followed that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they realized very quickly was you might have enough men to go and fight one other city in the battlefield. Two or three of them, unless you have your own allies, you don't have the men.
Yeah.
And one thing that we see throughout history is that walls are a signal that you do not have the manpower to defend something.
Mm-hmm.
So why is Hadrian's Wall there? It's not because the Romans were incapable of fighting the Picts man to man. Every time the Romans fought the Picts, they won.
Yeah.
If it was in an open battle, after their first few encounters with them.
Yeah.
One thing that people don't understand totally about the Roman military machine and how good it was is that Roman armies, like legionnaires, the Roman legion itself, almost never lost a battle. Especially in the north.
Which is impressive.
They would occasionally lose against Greeks, they would occasionally lose against Persians, but fighting against the Celts, fighting against the Germans, the Roman legion itself, especially the late legion, did not lose. That's why disasters like the Teutoburg Forest, where Varus lost several legions and they were completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm. And who were they going against
them? They were fighting the Germans, Arminius. Yeah. So when you see stuff like that, it's so odd and so traumatizing because it was so rare.
Yeah.
If the Romans were losing battles frequently against the Germans,
yeah,
Teutoburg Forest would not have been a big deal.
Yeah.
It was the fact that, oh my God, Rome lost.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was what was so strange about it. And then, you know, it predates the legionaries and the Roman legion structure, mm-hmm. but the Pyrrhic Wars of the 270s. Pyrrhus of Epirus went over and just smoked the Romans,
mm-hmm.
but lost so many men doing it that he couldn't keep going.
Ah.
So he had to go and fight the Carthaginians and the other Greeks, and then when he tried to fight Rome again, it did the same thing.
Yeah.
He just, their military machine was so effective that even when they lost, so did their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get Hadrian's Wall, that's literally Rome marking, this is the end of the world, we cannot defend ourselves past here. And they tried with the Antonine Wall, which was actually further north and covered a smaller stretch of land. Because
mm-hmm.
as you go up into that part of Scotland, there it's a much smaller isthmus.
Yeah.
So the Antonine Wall, the way they looked at it was they were like, all right, well, that wall, that's less space, takes less men to cover it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Because they couldn't pacify what was behind it.
Mm.
So Hadrian's Wall was built at the edge of what Rome determined it had the manpower to handle.
Yeah.
And that's why there's so few walls across large swaths of territory. That's why the Great Wall of China is this phenomenal, like, human landmark. Is because there's... It's a 5,000-mile wall.
Which is insane.
That was built thousands of years ago and yeah. is still standing today. Like, the Great... People... You learn about the Great Wall of China growing up, and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you learn about the Great Wall of China in college, and you're like, oh, my God.
I'm not gonna lie. Not until right now did I know that it was 5,000 miles long. Is that the actual number?
It's something like that. I might be exaggerating a little bit.
I think it's definitely not 5,000, because I think the diameter of Earth is 8.
Okay, the Earth is 25,000 miles around.
That's the diameter, not circumference.
Yeah, but we're talking about the surface area.
Yeah.
So why would the diameter matter?
Because if you go from end to end, 8,000. Like, if you're just looking at it straight.
Times 3.1415
meters. Again, I'm not talking circumference, diameter.
What does the diameter have to do with this?
Meaning in the sense it's like you'd have to go from one end of Asia to the other.
I was wrong.
Oh my God.
It's even longer than I thought it was.
It's over 13,000 miles long. How?
Okay, to be fair, it kind of goes like this.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. So the total length of all sections of the Great Wall of China ever built adds up to about 13,000 miles. Okay. The wall constructed during the Ming Dynasty, the most well-preserved section, is about 5,499 miles.
So that's
I knew I was right.
Yeah.
People tell me, they're like, Aiden, you say things with such confidence and turn out to be wrong. And I'm like, it's because usually I'm partially right.
Yeah, it gets us in trouble from time to time.
How many times have I been genuinely completely wrong?
Rare.
I will often be 95% wrong.
Yeah. But there's at least a smidge of
truth. At least a smidge of truth.
I do love that on Google it says opened 220 BC.
Wait, does it really? Where does it say that?
Right there. You literally just went over it.
Opened 220 BC. Now they're doing Sabaton in the chat nice. Now.
I also love that the Great Wall of China, one of the biggest militaristic defense, you know, impacts or whatever, now has an hours of operation.
Yep.
On
so Google. Does Hadrian's Wall.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's... But yeah, so that's a long-winded way of explaining where walled cities came from. But over... So in the late Roman period...
Yeah.
The Romans did not like walls. Unless it was in, like, Rome.
Yeah.
Rome had walls.
Yeah.
They also... Their colonies, their cities in Britain had walls. In Gaul and Spain,
mm-hmm.
they did not have walls. Anywhere where they could get away with not having walled cities...
Can I guess why? Because if they fell, then they'd be harder to retake.
It was not them getting conquered, it was them rebelling.
Ah.
Like, but yeah, exactly. So it was they didn't want to have to deal with rebellions inside of walled cities. Mm. They wanted to just be able to march up and walk in.
Yeah.
So when the Vikings arrive in Britain, and Britain was the one place where Roman cities did have walls.
Yeah.
But not all the cities had walls. So when the Vikings arrived in Britain in like the 700s and the 800s, what they found was all of these unwalled cities.
Yeah.
Their cities had walls.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were finding was a bunch of cities that had like either old Roman walls or very minimal walls, like palisades.
Yeah.
And part of what made Alfred the Great, was in fact that he built all of these walled cities.
Yeah.
So, and they were called burgs. So the reason that towns like the reason that you've got towns like that is because they would actually be named usually after the person who built it.
So like Fredericksburg or something.
Fredericksburg.
So that's Fredericksburg. That's where we get that suffix for towns and things like that now.
Very similar to ville, which is villa. Comes from the French one.
I believe so.
But yeah, so it's that same kind of thing. Anything that's a ville or a burg or a tun or a town. In Celtic languages, it's usually a din.
Mm-hmm.
So Edinburgh,
yeah,
was originally Din Ivan,
yep,
but it became Din, and then it became Edinburgh, mm-hmm. and then Edinburgh.
Got it.
Winchester mm-hmm. was Winton Tester, which Chester I found out in college. I finally asked one of my professors. I was like, "Where does the Chester come from?"
Yeah.
And he said it basically means, it denoted that it was a trade city.
Interesting.
Yep. So Winchester was a trade hub, Chester was a trade hub, Dunchester was a trade hub.
Yep.
It was just one of the old English words that implied trade.
I love etymology.
They're not even doing the same Sabaton song now.
Doing their own Sabaton songs?
It started off as Country Roads.
Yep.
And now Sword Faces Gun... The Final Stand, Stop the Persian, Spear in Hand. Those are two different songs. Because the sword face the gun is the...
I was just curious to see if that would improve the
layout. Is Shidoyama.
Yeah.
Which is about the final stand of the samurai against the Imperial Japanese.
I still cannot get over the fact, like, I know it is accurate, but the fact that cowboys and samurai were... in their prominence at the same time is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Dude, time scales, man. I'm telling you.
I know. It's amazing.
When China was building the Great Wall,
yeah,
Rome was not yet an empire.
I really think the biggest problem that our school system has in terms of history is the time scales. They explain things that happen, mm-hmm. but they don't give you context as to when it happened in relation to everything else very well.
So, Roman Britain lasted longer than the United States has existed.
Well, that's a good sign. Wait, didn't... Well, I mean, for us, we might have a chance. Wait, but didn't the... How long did the Roman Republic last?
So, Rome's founding was around, I believe, 750 BC.
Okay.
It became a republic in the 500s.
Okay.
And then experienced the second founding of Rome under Marcus Furius Camillus.
Yeah.
Which, if you go back and you watch our History Hut videos, which are currently discontinued, you will find a Rome Part 1, which actually goes over the founding of the Roman of Rome, the city, up through the war with the Senones and the Gauls that led to the second founding under Marcus Furius Camillus. I think we stopped before we talked about him. We basically were like, we'll talk about him later. Or he may have covered him. I don't know. But the point being, Rome was then a republic for about 400 years, just under 400 years, until it was conquered once again. Or not conquered, but until it changed governments once again to become an empire.
Yep.
But even the switch from republic to empire took an entire lifetime.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and but
because Augustus was not crowned emperor.
No.
His successor was.
What was the name of his successor again?
God, I know it's like... not Nero, but it's close to Nero.
Nero.
It's... Who succeeded Augustus?
Because it was Augustus's.
Tiberius.
Tiberius.
Yeah.
Wait. Wait, no, I thought it was Marcus Aurelius, and then...
Aurelius is later.
Wasn't he considered, like, the last true something of Rome?
In hindsight, he's generally seen as, like, the last true successful Roman emperor.
Okay. Because what was his son's name?
That was...
I'm just basically...
Yeah, I know you're saying. It's the guy from Gladiator.
Yeah.
Commodus.
Commodus, that's it, yeah.
Which, by the way, if you want the non-Hollywood version of Commodus' story, the Roman Empire series on Netflix has an entire season about Commodus. It's fantastic.
Don't they do a pretty good job in the movie, though, kind of portraying, in at least a digestible way, in which Commodus completely screwed the Empire because he essentially... He was a horrible leader in the sense that he just thought, if I distract them with things that they like, then they'll ignore all of the problems, and he did.
Exactly. He cared almost entirely. His entire thing was that he wanted to be liked.
Yeah.
And he kind of let the empire fall apart around him as he did it, because he was bankrupting them by throwing constant games, and... he actually was killed, but he wasn't killed by a gladiator in the arena like he is in the movie.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Gladiator that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, amazing soundtrack.
Incredible soundtrack. Incredible movie.
Truly incredible soundtrack.
The extended director's cut's even better.
Oh my God.
It doesn't even feel longer. Also, really quickly, did you see the little light bulb I had there? Not to get those too derailed, but like just as a brief thing in terms of... Commodus wanting to be liked.
We're at the point where we're so derailed we're not. Yeah, we'll talk about Skinwalker Ranch next week.
Yeah. No, but just like really quickly.
Actually, no, because next week we'll probably be sitting here recapping the trip to New York. Yes. So imagine Skinwalker Ranch in 2 weeks, I guess.
There we go. Imagine how much better that the sequel trilogy would have been if they made Kylo Ren's story a little bit more like Commodus. And maybe they could have changed it up so instead of wanting to be liked, he wanted to be feared. But they did that a little bit, but imagine if they did that like on a broader scale rather than just like with a few of his direct subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whole thing, and everybody was like, no.
Well, the prequel trilogy actually, and like the structure that gets set up for the Empire, because even in A New Hope, you get, I guess we're talking about Star Wars now. In A New Hope, you get... the mentions of the Senate, which is how the Roman Empire functioned.
Mm-hmm.
It was an empire.
Yeah.
The emperor did technically have autocratic rule.
Yeah.
But the Senate continued to exist and have input and have a say, more as like a class of ruling counselors.
Yeah.
While the emperor got the final say.
Yeah.
But it was because the emperor didn't have the power to control directly all of the noble families.
Yeah.
And there were families that had the money to declare independence.
Yeah.
And then he'd have to, if one did, then another did. There was actually a period called the Barracks Emperors period, where Rome went through, like, 50 emperors in as many years.
Yes. So I was just giving a thumbs up for the comment. Yeah, I think that's one thing that our generation appreciates about the prequels that a lot of other people might not, is, like, the world building in that prequel specifically in relation to, like, I know some people find the politics boring. I find it really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you can use... essentially a space fantasy story as an incredible allegory for Rome, Nazi Germany, and the United States of America all in one. It's such an interesting and unique way to explore those topics.
I want to talk about one other thing really quick, because I always love this one while we're on the subject of Star Wars.
Yes.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's name.
Yeah.
This clicked for me in college, because that was the only... This is the only time in many of your lives that you're ever going to hear someone say the words Kenobitic monk. Because unless you get a medieval studies degree or a religious studies degree, you will almost certainly never hear those words again.
Yeah.
But the English words, this is from Wikipedia, the English words Kenobite and Kenobitic are derived via Latin from the Greek words koinos, and which means common, and bios, which means life. The adjective can also be Kenobiac or Kenobitic. This is just spelled differently.
Yep.
A group of monks living in community is often referred to as Kenobium. Kenobitic monasticism appears in several religious traditions, though most commonly in Buddhism and Christianity. It is a monastic tradition that stresses community life. Often in the West, the community belongs to a religious order, and the life of a Kenobitic monk is regulated by a religious rule, a collection of precepts. The older style of monasticism, to live as a hermit, is called eremitic. A third form, primarily in Eastern Christianity, is the skete. So, tell me, does Kenobi sound like Kenobitic?
Very much so.
Does the Jedi Order sound like a Kennebitic order?
Very much so.
I don't know if George Lucas was aware of that.
Oh, he definitely was.
But there is no way that's a coincidence.
No. Well, because he studied Joseph Campbell heavily.
Oh, okay.
The whole story of Star Wars came from Joseph Campbell's lectures and books that were specifically revolving around. So in storytelling, there is essentially a roadmap, a 12-step roadmap called the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And if you look at anything like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, really any Game of Thrones, like really any epic journey,
mm-hmm.
Generally it will follow pretty closely the 12 steps of a hero's journey, which is just kind of, before it was even really studied, it was just something that some like writers, I mean, it was written out to some extent, mm-hmm. but like writers just generally kind of knew that this was tell the story. It's a good formula.
Because it works really well for trilogies because you can do 4 steps at a time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's you know, the call to adventure, the denial, the tragedy that forces their hand, you know, the different elements like the pushed and like failure and then pushed mm-hmm. again. And, you know, the dark night of the soul, which is when essentially it's like they've reached the hardest point of the journey. And that's where they have to make the decision essentially to whether they're going to bear down and go for it or, you know, in tragedies versus heroic stories, instead of at the dark night of the soul deciding I'm going to, you know, buckle down and do this. They say, you know what, screw it, and go the villainous route. And it's, you know, so there's interesting ways to kind of work within that. But, so he studied Joseph Campbell heavily, and I wouldn't be surprised if Campbell references mm-hmm. those kinds of things at some point.
Yep, it's... And you look at the Jedi Order, it's the Templars.
Yeah.
It is 100% the Knights Templar.
Yeah.
Through and through.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into more of the backstory and the lore, mm-hmm. it gets further away.
People have filled in their own, you know, ideas of what exactly it was.
It's a weird mix of like samurai and Templars, which is cool. If we did Star Wars lore videos, would you actually watch them? Because we've considered it.
Yeah.
But we figured it was too much of a departure. But if we like did lore videos from other,
I mean, once a month, I feel like it wouldn't be too excessive.
If we did like a Star Wars or and a Lord of the Rings and a Warhammer,
yeah,
because we could bring Sean on to talk Warhammer.
Oh yeah, true. I feel like for us specifically, just in relation to Star Wars and things like that, like I know growing up, I was an only child, and that was like one of the biggest things I gravitated towards mm-hmm. because I loved that galaxy, essentially, that universe. I loved how expansive it was, how interesting it was, and just kind of the depth of storytelling was incredible. Even Archie agrees.
Yes.
So that'd be fun to explore.
Let's see.
Do it.
Blank says, what is going on in the stream for real, though? Let me let you guys into the world of being a podcaster and a content creator that is not full-time.
Yeah.
Aiden and I both work 40-hour-a-week jobs.
Yep.
On top of that, we are both trying to write and sell scripts as well as novels.
Yes.
So, usually, we're able to set things up in a way that we can really be prepped for stuff.
Yeah.
But with me adding in the band lately, both of us are working on selling scripts right now.
Yep.
You were away this weekend.
Yes.
And last week was Memorial Day. It was just a mess.
So
we've had a couple of like pretty disorganized weeks, and we're trying to get back on track, but we're just in a spot where both of us are kind of dying inside.
A little bit. Yeah, especially now with you at the band, and it's the 40-hour work week. Without Lore Lodge in and of itself, it is not easy, especially when you have friends that like want to spend time with you and you want to spend time with them. Work-life balance isn't easy, as I'm sure many of you know, especially for those who do not have the luxury of 9-to-5s that, you know, are a little bit more flexible in terms of, you know, people who work shifts and who work hourly and things like that. I mean, life gets hectic. So when you add on not just this show, but all of the back end of designing websites and trying to figure out like how to give back for Patreon in an appropriate way that would make people, you know, feel fulfilled for actually, you know, supporting us as we want you to. And then, you know, trying to figure out what equipment do we need, can we afford these certain things, all that stuff. And then filming the actual videos themselves, planning for the big videos that we're trying to film next weekend. There's a lot of things that aren't seen. Which, for some, may go without saying that are more aware of than others, but...
And I got a lot of flack for this. I made a TikTok video about it and lost, like, 1,000 followers. Because I talked about how TikTok does not pay. At all.
No.
YouTube does. Mm-hmm. But getting the views necessary to make money on YouTube is a total crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, for example, we have 37,000 subscribers on this channel. We have been putting out at least one video a week, if not more. We've basically been doing the podcast and at least one video. So at least two videos a week. And these are not, you know, like one-off really short things. We're not reusing old footage. This is not us sitting there and narrating a script that I wrote and then tossing stock footage over it.
Yeah.
We, you know, he has to edit every second of every video we make.
Yeah.
And that means watching through the entire video and then, you know, I don't know how many edits, I don't know how many cuts. I know early on you had to make a hell of a lot more, but we got better.
It definitely depends on the day because there are some days where you're just like... And then some days where it's like there's a couple more pauses and things like that. But yeah, that's one thing that I picked up because I mainly came from a narrative editing standpoint in the sense of like action, you do a shot, done, and then you have several of those options and then you go with that. And then that editing process is really just assembling and picking the best take and just assembling that. This is very different in the sense of he can talk for half an hour straight about a topic and I have to go back and watch every second of it because anytime that there's like a... At the beginning, and it could be like 3 seconds. So if I'm not paying attention that whole time, I'll miss that, and that's bad quality content, and I don't accept that.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying like it takes.
But it's like a minimum of an hour to edit a 20-minute episode.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
A minimum. If I were to be almost perfect, he'd still have to watch it at least once. Mm-hmm. Then you'd have to make edits, and then you'd still have to watch it again.
Yeah. And
so, like...
Even with the new computer I have, which speeds up the process a good amount in terms of exporting and the actual amount of, like, things I can do and the new monitors that are wider so I can see more of the timeline and all that or whatever, you know, it's still at least, like... For every half an hour of recorded footage that we have, I spend, an hour with that. Yeah. So, or an hour and a half, probably.
And it was the video I made, the reaction to it was basically, like... Well, you don't deserve our money. You know what? You know it should be on TikTok and YouTube to pay you. And my response was basically like, I'm not demanding anyone give us money at all. I'm just explaining like if you're wondering why some of your favorite content creators will drop off the face of the earth, it's because getting to a point where you're getting views in the first place is already like an insane amount of luck.
Oh yeah.
And then on top of that, getting to a point where you're making enough money is another insane amount of luck.
Yeah.
So for every Wendigoon, to use an example of somebody we know, there's another 10 people who were just like him, probably just as good, who just did not hit the algorithm in enough time and went, you know what, I can't do this. I don't have the energy.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
stop.
Yeah, it really comes down to the ROI in the sense of, like, you know, for us, we just, at the end of the day, even if we weren't getting, you know, any form of compensation for this, like, we still just enjoy this. Like, even just the podcast, just getting a chance to get together once a week, sit down and just, you know, talk. I mean, we're friends. We enjoy this. This is fun for us.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's fun. But, you know, it's, for a lot of other people who see it more as, I mean... In a way, it's partially a job, but for those who just see it as a job, like it's you know work for them, you get a few months into that and you're not getting returns.
And
you're going to just.
I will say some of the most successful podcasts out there are exactly this kind of format.
Yeah.
Usually a little bit more scripted.
Yeah.
But, you know, where you got, like, for example, Necronomipod is really popular. Last Podcast on the Left is really popular. Those are shows where it's just a bunch of friends sitting and bullshitting about something.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at it and I got nailed by my own followers for talking about this. And of course, I didn't want to harp on anybody or like sound, you know, like unappreciative or whatever. But what I ran into was there were a lot of people who were like, you know, well, Netflix actors don't ask us to fund them independently. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, do you pay for Netflix? You're paying $20 a month for Netflix.
Yeah.
On top of that, Netflix is getting money from investors.
Yeah.
You know, those actors are being paid by Netflix, yes, but you're paying Netflix.
Yeah.
So what I suggested to people was if you've got, you know, $5 a month to spend and you've got, five content creators you really love, if they've got a $1 membership option on Patreon, sign up for it.
Yeah.
Because the good you can do by donating $1 a month to your favorite content creator is they're going to make far more money long-term from you than they are from YouTube, or from
any advertising.
Yeah, year in, and I never would have expected to be here a year ago based on the numbers. Yeah. A year in, our single largest revenue stream is direct from Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Is you guys. You guys are, like, YouTube gives us chump change, and YouTube also takes 30%. So YouTube gives us that. We make more from Super Chats on YouTube and memberships on YouTube than we do from the ads.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we make, you know, very little from TikTok, like to the extent that I haven't even checked in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Because last time I checked, it was like $20.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah, so it's not even worth it at that point. But yeah, so when, you know, and I'm not saying this for me. I don't. If you guys have, you know, favorite content creators that aren't us and you like them more.
Oh yeah.
What I'm saying is go give them $5 a month. Go give them $10 a month.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, that kind of thing is what keeps people going and what keeps things working. We are trying to move things over to our website eventually so that people would be funding, like, supporting us directly. But even then, we need to hire somebody to handle, you know, all right, we had 5 people hit their 3rd month of membership. That means that they've earned these prizes. So we need somebody to order those and have them shipped.
And make sure they get there, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, for us, that's stuff we try to do. But, whew. Yeah. So, and then none of this is to complain. I love what we do. I'm so happy to be doing what I do. I'm just, I want to make sure people understand.
Yeah, we're just trying to be as transparent as we can in terms of, like, what we're able to provide and what we're trying to be able to provide. Like, in terms of, I mean, you know, part of it is my fault for being a bit late today, but if you look at the way the podcast looks right now, this isn't exactly the final form we would hope it to be. Yeah. Like, we would love to have a stream deck and 2 cameras so that we can just have it as, you know, nice looking as possible and all that.
Sure, like, directional.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we'd love for it to be that way, but just the way it is now, like, we unfortunately, with our lives as is, we cannot afford to make those purchases to do that. And we're not asking for that money directly right now, but in the sense of, like, there are, and this goes for every content creator that we're talking about, is, like, the $1 that he was referencing, when that adds up, it allows them to be able to give the kind of content not only that they want to be able to provide just for themselves. Like, you know, I pride myself in making the videos as good as I possibly can just because that's something I want to do. I want to look at our content and be like, you know what, I'm proud of what we've done. Mm-hmm. But at the same point is, like, we're not doing it just for us. Like, like, if we were doing it just for us, we wouldn't be putting it on YouTube. Like, we want to provide you guys with the most entertaining and interesting.
He and I can go to a bar and talk to each other any night of the week.
Yeah, literally.
You know, I never intended to start this podcast. I never intended to start this YouTube channel. I never intended to have a TikTok page.
Yeah.
This
was all a happy accident.
Am I excited as hell? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that, like, you know, this is a situation that fell into our laps and we're doing it because it, you know, people seem to like it.
Yeah.
And loving every minute of it. But I, you know, it was a weird tangent about being a content creator.
Should we just call this episode The Aidens Are Having a Day, so they just rant?
I'll make it more history focused. Yeah. I don't know what we'll call it, but you know, we'll get back to the more paranormal stuff soon. That's also been part of the other thing, is we're doing so much work on this this documentary.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like pushed other stuff to the background. Making other content while also getting ready for filming that has been So I promise you guys that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm going to record a read-through of at least a couple chapters of the Book of Enoch this week. So we're getting back into more of that.
Is that for Patreon or is that for
That's going to be for YouTube.
Okay.
Cool.
And I have some short stories that I want to do that for as
well. We're definitely bringing back the narrations.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. But I think we'll snag question time now, I guess.
We might as well, yeah.
Let's do question time.
Also, Thornberry Thursdays will exist, but our long-form stuff is kind
one day.
Yeah, one day. I think the funniest joke would be just, like, they're coming, but they never come. But right. I do want to make them. I have a couple outlines for things that I want to do. It's just a matter of, like, prioritizing the stuff that we're doing together first.
Okay, so, here we go. Gotta find the earliest one back that I can get.
Oh, also, my mom said to give a shout-out to my dad, whose birthday is today. So, just wanted to give that out there.
Happy birthday, Mr. Thornberry. Blank blank for $2 says Country Roads.
Take me home.
To the place where I belong.
I was on a lot of country roads today.
No, yeah, he
I
wasn't. Was,
I
was, yes.
I was at the beginning of 76, and I took it pretty much to the end.
Oh, my God. Is for $5. Thank you. It says, as always, tell Archibald I love him. And no real questions as expected. Love the resident Splendor friend. Archie, did you hear that? Somebody loves you. Come here.
Oh, look at his tail go.
Oh, geez. There we go.
You are loved.
You're loved. Everybody loves you. Okay. Alien for it says, if is a Splenda, then what am I? Stevia?
I am unfamiliar with the term.
Aspartame?
Aspartame?
Is it aspartame?
Yeah.
I've always heard aspartame.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. We'll have to come up with one. I will let you know. Hammond for $2 says, Dimensional Thorn Bussy. The Dimensionussy?
The Dimensionussy. Love it.
Ah, boy. Hammond for $2 also says Aiden Thornberry is Nigel's long-lost son. Smashing.
Just as long as I'm not Donnie.
Smashing.
Smashing.
Yes. Mrs. Thornberry, you have some things to explain. let's see. Okay, your mom gave us $50.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Mrs. Thornberry.
You've paid for my gas for a day.
yeah. This isn't a political podcast, but it's getting close. Plaz for his or her membership bonus says, so skinwalkers transform by using animal parts and skins. Could they create new forms by weaving parts together to choose specific animal traits? Ooh. So I did have a conversation with who was it? It was Resnick Vet on TikTok. If you're looking for a Navajo creator who talks about Navajo folklore as well as life and stuff like that,
yep,
go ahead and follow Resnick Vet on TikTok. Tell them we sent you. They're awesome. It's a husband and wife.
Oh, cool.
They're both veterans. I think two separate branches. Hmm. I think Air Force and Marines. I might have that part wrong, though. But what they told me was that, in fact, the skinwalker suit, mm-hmm, that is worn by actual, like, you know, we're not talking about the paranormal kind. We're talking about just the practicing skinwalkers,
yeah,
of Navajo culture, because they exist. Whether or not you believe that they can transform into the animal is irrelevant. There are people who practice these rituals.
Yeah.
That the way that it would work is that you would sew a bunch of different skins together and you would wear it as a costume.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have coyote and bear and mountain lion.
Interesting.
And what you would see is, like, one possibility for where this originated is that it was a sort of camouflage. And that the idea was that, okay, it would, like, warriors would wear it. Shamans taking part in battle might wear one to just confuse people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So kinda that's...
Kind of like the berserkers.
Kind of like the berserkers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover between Native American and Northern European,
mm-hmm,
culture and folklore that I think, from a cultural anthropology standpoint,
mm-hmm,
needs to be investigated more, because that's super interesting.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, you know, how long there was contact.
Yeah.
When that contact was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it possible that at the same time that there was a land bridge across the Bering Strait, that there was also one that went from one side of the Arctic to the other?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
We don't have, and it would have had to be a really, really long time ago, because we don't have any evidence of Norse culture. But maybe, but also it's also possible that when people were migrating,
mm-hmm,
the same group of people went up northeast and out of Africa and then split off and went the two opposite directions. So they, yeah, might have similar stories for that reason. I don't know. I find those things fascinating.
Absolutely.
At its core, what this channel is a cultural anthropology channel.
Yeah.
You know,
which
that's,
is really kind of cool.
Yeah. Which I just think is cool. Yeah. Blank Blank says, I bet if Wendigoon put an announcement about the podcast before you guys do it, it'd help a lot. Whenever he's on, mm, our podcast or before Weird Bible, he absolutely does.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps.
Oh, yeah. Well, just by the
numbers, also,
yeah,
we're going to be appearing on some Wendigoon stuff soon.
Yeah,
that'll be which, exciting. On his channel, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give out any details because I don't know how much he has released publicly, yeah, yet, but we are going to be doing some stuff with him that I'm excited for.
We love talking with more friends.
Yeah, and Wendigoon's just great.
Oh, he's
I invited him to my birthday party because I'm going to be in Tennessee.
Nice.
So he said he'd come.
That's awesome.
I'm going to party with Wendigoon for my 25th birthday.
That's
the
great
goal. Alien says, we enjoy you and them random train wreck streams are... cut off.
I think that was intentional for,
yeah, that's kind of what
train wreck theme,
that's kind of what Lore Lounge started to become, was just,
yeah,
where we just talk, which honestly I enjoy.
No, it's a great time.
That's I think we did a weird thing, like most podcasts that two guys in their mid-20s start
do this
yeah, and then, like, their friends watch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, maybe. We started off with an actual concept, and then occasionally when we go off the rails, it turns into the normal, like, 24-year-old podcast.
Yeah.
At least we're not sitting here being like, yo, you know, the problem with women, dude, is that they're just not men.
And they just,
like,
they expect us to not be men.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, I'm a man. I'm a guy. And I'm just, I wish, dude. Like, honestly, dude, I think that women would be better
yeah.
if they were just dudes. Like, why if everyone was a dude.
Why can't everyone be a dude?
Right? Yeah, see, so yeah. We don't do that. Yeah. I'm a little concerned with how easily we slipped into that, but it's fine.
I mean, I think we both just watched the Bo Burnham
yeah.
thing, so,
yeah,
like...
it's also, like, me and Tommy, and how we can shift into that Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I saw him the other day. Yeah. He's back for a month and a half. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Nice. He said he's going to come out here with us one night. So, yeah, but he and I will slip into this, like, horrible stereotype Brooklyn accent
that
we picked up from Cake Boss when we were in, like, seventh grade.
I love
so
that.
I'll get in the car, not say a word. Tommy look at me and be like, Chef Tone, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm great. How are you, Tone? We call each other Tone.
For no reason.
Because there was a character, there was a guy on Cake Boss called Tone Tone.
Okay.
So we each took half the tone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and now, you know.
Love that.
Many, many, many years later. Let's see. Floriana G for $5. Thank you. Says, keep up the good job, lads. We appreciate your hard work. Well, thank you. We appreciate your appreciation.
Yes.
Let's see. What else do we have? It's funny because some people, like Cassian here, says the best streams are all going on tangents for an hour or two, and we get comments that are the exact opposite as well.
Yeah,
which is what I struggle with, because, like, obviously people enjoy this dynamic and that kind of thing. And I think I tried to start Lore Lounge to kind of, first of all, get all of this out of my system.
Yeah.
The day before the show, but also to you know, give people who like that kind of more loose format something they can look
forward to. You know
what's
so weird?
What?
Is like, yes, it is the day before the show, but for some reason in my
signed
mind...
Signed Wendy Bussy Polaroid for 12 months.
Love it.
We could send out signed Wendy Bussy Polaroids.
Yeah.
Once we have the store up and running, by the way, there will be stuff that you can order like that.
Yeah.
That will be like, you know... a signed canvas print.
The store is going to be like a meme, essentially. Just
well, we're going to have a lot of fun with the store because we're getting a signature coffee.
Yes.
Can you
believe that?
I'm so excited about
that.
That's
awesome.
From Tableau Roasting Company. They sent us a bunch of samples. I've been drinking them pretty frequently. They're all good.
I got to try some of those. I want some.
Yeah, I'll give you a bag to take home.
Ooh. Yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to be getting that. The store is also going to have some Lore Lodge candles. All of our shirts and stuff. You can actually, if you go on the website, lorelodge.com now, there where it says merch, that'll take you to our spring store.
Yeah.
But also, we do have a new spring shirt up. It's this one. So you get this for being a Patreon patron for 3 months at the $100 tier, which is the redacted tier. I liked this one so much. It was my mom's. This one came from my mom, and she gave it to me, so I could buy this merch.
Nice.
But yeah, so I just put that up on the store yesterday.
Nice.
A couple days ago. And it's this on the front in our actual brand font, which is Noticia.
Nice.
And then on the back, this one's blank on the back. The one that you get on the store has the logo.
Oh, cool.
The big fat one that's on the, I don't know if you guys can see the screen.
Big guy.
But yeah, the logo that's right on the screen. You got that on the back. Let's see. Let's see, History Daddy says, for £5, completely feel you guys, hard to push the algorithm, you're an inspiration to us small creators, meaning you guys and other content creators pushing me on. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, man.
That means a lot.
Much appreciated.
I've enjoyed you since we ran into each other.
It's also weird, considering that I just had someone
I see
say
us
to me,
as smaller creators, too. Like, I did I was going through it.
I'll take the compliment.
Because we're actually considered macro influencers on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's macro. Yeah, macro on YouTube, and then we're on TikTok. I'm like considered.
Well, you're on Famous Birthdays now, which is hilarious.
Which, by the way, if you want to go to famousbirthdays.com and look up Aiden Madison, hit that boost button. I know it sounds stupid. I'm not doing this for vanity, but like agents and managers will troll through famousbirthdays.com.
Oh, I bet.
To try and find talent that's not represented. So
everything helps, man.
You know, I am currently looking for a talent agent. So
cast a wide net, you know?
Yeah. Just really quickly, blank blank says, how do you guys feel about pepperoni?
I'm a fan.
I will eat pepperoni if it is on the pizza, but I will not order a pizza with pepperoni.
Yeah, that's valid.
I prefer sausage if I'm going to do meat.
Should we say the one pizza that we'll get on occasion that most people hate?
The pizza that I get every single time? Hell yeah. So I will order a pan pizza from Domino's with premium chicken, pineapple on it. And then if I'm feeling spicy, I'll add in jalapeno peppers.
Yes.
I've done it with black olives, too.
How's that?
With all four.
Yeah.
You got the umami flavor from the meat, from the chicken.
Yes.
You got your savory from the olives.
Yeah.
You got your sweet from the pineapple, and you got your spicy from the...
It's a perfect combo.
Yeah, and I can't remember what the fifth flavor profile is that exists, but...
Tang?
Is it tang? A tomato sauce.
There we go.
See? Boom. So it's... People make fun of it, but it works. You gotta involve the flavors.
Yes.
You gotta try multiple flavors.
If there's anything that I've learned, it's when you can combine two essentially opposing flavors... to, like, create that dynamicism.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Or, like, multiple flavors that contrast each other, you know.
Anyway. To either or both Aidens, this is from Is for $5, would you be interested in being contestants in my Sims murder gauntlet? Yes, let's talk. I don't know what that means.
She says, I make rooms designed to unalive a Sim, and each contestant has a room, whoever is in the last... It sounds a little like Squid Game, which I still have yet to watch. Same. But, like, sure.
I refuse to watch Squid Game because of the marketing.
Why?
Because they paid so many people to post memes about it that it actually made it into something.
Yeah, but that's like Red Bull's marketing campaign. It's genius.
Yeah, but Red Bull came up with it.
Did they not?
No, Squid Game just did the same thing.
No, well, Red Bull's was, let's, like, make a bunch of empty cans and crush them up and throw them around Germany, and people are going to be like, oh my god, what is this drink everyone's drinking?
What else do we have?
And then it blew up. That's literally how Red Bull got popular. Well, they don't know it. Or you might not know it. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I didn't know it at one point.
Iron Death 14 for $5. Thank you, sir. Says, I worked on a national park and have a sighting if you want to hear about it. Email us.
Yes.
Shoot us an email at thelorelodge@gmail.com. We do have an actual email account for the business now that is at lorelodge.com, but I don't check it as often yet. We're going to be hiring somebody who that will be their job.
Yes.
So
more to come on that.
But yeah, send an email to thelorelodge@gmail.com and we will read it. And if we're gonna bring back story time. I know we keep saying that, but I'm actually gonna bring back story time.
Yeah.
Once
a week, probably.
Probably once a week, yeah. It might just be one story or one or two stories.
I think one story.
I think another thing I want to do is I want to compile all of our old ones and either re-narrate them or take the audio files and combine them so we can post, like, a long one.
Yeah, we can do that. I think re-narration might be good because that way I can go in and, like, you know, ideally if I have time, add some sound effects and, like, a background and things like that to make them, like, an experience rather than just a logo and somebody talking.
Yeah, I need to take a week off of work and just do Lore Lodge stuff. But the problem is that I'm not really taking a week off of work, am I?
No.
I
gotta take... Well, wait, we should take just, like, one weekend within the next month and just, like, do.
Yeah, true. Alright, Alien for $2 says, fantastic.
I don't know what it is, but, you know.
And then he also says, for $5, I got my redacted hoodie, I love it. Aren't they really high quality?
I want one.
Like, they're the right thickness, they're soft inside, like...
Do we still have the regular Lore Lodge hoodies
Yeah, we still have those as well.
Alright, cool.
I did do a new, like, higher resolution...
Oh, good.
...version of the logo.
Nice.
So I'm gonna... Redo those.
Yeah, I need one because I need a larger size. The one I have is small.
All right. What goal do we need to hit for a gray Windussy fleshlight?
I don't think we have a goal for that. I don't think we ever will. Also, remember that thing about pre-reading questions?
Yeah. I think we did get to the fleshy D&D boy. Did we get to the Carolina Reaper last month?
I don't think we did.
I really hope we didn't.
I would give it a rip.
But we do need to do the Food Network episode soon. So that'll probably be... See, yeah, we should do that the 18th, Saturday.
What?
Saturday the 18th, we should do the Food Network episode.
Aren't we going to be...
18th is 2 weekends.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that's emo night.
Yes,
so
I might be able to do that. Yeah, okay, that works. Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. I was thinking...
Plaz asked, where in NY are we heading? Brant Lake?
Yes.
Which is Warren County. That's where Tom Messick went missing. We're thinking we're probably going to stay in Bennington, Vermont.
Yeah.
Because it's only an hour's drive away, and it's not New York.
Come on up.
I joke about how much I hate Ohio, but I genuinely do dislike New York City.
Yeah, it's not the same as it was.
Yeah, but we're not staying in New York City at all.
No, so. we're going to be far more north.
We do have a redacted tank top, actually. The redacted shirt comes in tanks, tees, and hoodies. And there's a mug.
I like the mug.
The mugs are cool. BTW, before y'all end, I require a thank you for keeping track of the monies during the stream. Thank you.
Yeah, we do really appreciate that.
We do. Actually. It actually gives us a...
It gives a it's good helpful. Context, yeah.
We do have to come up with donation goals for this month. And we got to do... There's so many that we still got to film.
My pet elephant ran across the cube. That is fantastic.
Okay, Ryan.
That was great. Oh, God.
All right. But, you know, thank you guys for tuning in to what has been a rather hectic and chaotic episode of the stream. I considered just not doing it tonight because we didn't have a ton to talk about. But at the same time, I wanted to give you guys the content you expect, even if it meant improving the majority of it. Yes. So we will do a Skinwalker stream next time.
I do like the idea of getting the OnlyPans girl.
Oh my god, I would kill
because like her content's great.
She's so funny.
And
the puns are incredible.
Puns are incredible and the food looks fantastic.
Oh yeah.
It makes me hungry every time I watch.
So here's the reason we won't be doing Pride Month donation goals, Kat. Partially because we're both straight. And also that kind of feels like rainbow capitalism.
Did you just make that up now?
No, that's a thing. I've also heard pink capitalism. I don't know how they differ, but yeah. So I don't know. I feel like the consequences of us doing pride themed donation goals while not being gay.
Yeah.
Would even if we did it with the best of intentions, would probably not go over well with a certain community that likes to cancel people. Not the LGBTQ community in general, there are enough people out there who would make a stink about that, even if we did it for the right reasons, that it, you know...
And even if it were for the right reasons, we would kind of feel like, are we profiting off of
gay people?
Yeah, like, we don't want to do that. We're full support of it, but, like, we don't need to, like, do merch for it.
I do see that. We do use Streamlabs to stream. But since we, I don't know.
What are we talking about?
For the chats, because Streamlabs only takes 10%. The problem is that YouTube is where all the people are.
Yeah.
So, it's easier for people to log on to YouTube. It's just more discoverable.
Yeah. Discoverability on Twitch is terrible.
Oh God.
We do those for, like, any random singing streams, and we do that stuff, so...
Yeah.
Pride Month show this month? Yeah, it could be, like, a Lore Lounge episode.
we're gonna bring Kat on and just have her be bisexual. Eat hot chip and lie.
I was gonna say, like, how do you just be bisexual other than just existing?
Yeah, we're just be bisexual.
Should we just essentially, like, she walks on the frame and we both just go... And it'll just be that for
She's
an hour.
Literally just wearing a rainbow robe.
She just stands there and waves.
Episode on Alan Turing would be cool.
True.
Ryan, why don't you do an episode on Alan Turing? You're history daddy.
Yeah, valid.
You want to come on this one and do an episode on Alan Turing?
Yeah, let's do a podcast about it. Have me on
Instead of the boys, it's us. Honestly, Becca, once you move back here, if you and Kat want to do a show on the channel, you're welcome to it.
Like, yeah.
You can use the studio and the equipment and everything. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
Just keep track of the money you make and we'll pay it out to you. Like, yeah.
We want the platform to be more than just us. Ideally.
Yeah, that's a thing we want to do, by the way, is like, you know, if you want to start doing YouTube stuff that fits with any of the themes of the channel, this goes out to everybody in the chat, all of our... Anybody who watches us, like, shoot a pilot and send it to us, and, you know, if it holds up in terms of quality, we're all for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing we want to do, is we want to have more creators on.
Yeah.
So if you've got a channel idea, feel free to pitch it to us. Obviously, we don't have the star power that certain other networks have, but we want the Lore Lodge to be more than just a YouTube channel. We want this to be a network where
I just already know what the Becca and Kat show would be. Yeah. I can just see the two of you for the first episode just sitting there for the first 10 minutes and being like, what do we do? No, I think
that's kind of what our show has been a number of times.
I mean, tonight.
There's an episode where we just ate sushi.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I have faith that you two will have some, like, really good play. Their show's going to get more popular than ours. Which is fine.
Probably.
With good reason.
Then they can do their own channel.
Exactly.
Becca, the entire time, just do not address the fact that the boys aren't there, even if the chat asks.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just Becca and Kat, but they're pretending to be us.
Well, yeah, they should do a Lore Lodge podcast episode, and, like, they choose which one they're gonna be.
Can be a backdoor pilot, like, for Wayward Sisters, and then never happen.
Yeah, you know, because it worked out so well the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Backdoor pilots are an interesting concept.
Horrible.
They
backdoor
never work.
Backdoor pilots never work.
And once again, the ace is erased.
What?
The ace. Listen, there's a lot of letters in the acronym.
Oh, was Becca Fry timing us?
Fry time?
Fry time, yeah. Who said the ace is erased?
Becca.
Yeah, she's like she's frying us.
Fry?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You're like getting fried right now.
Huh?
There's no way you haven't.
Literally heard never heard that in my life.
Really?
Never once.
Yeah, no. Like, if someone's like roasting you, they're frying you.
Why wouldn't you just say roasting?
It's just a different. Like, it's fry time. Like, I'm,
yeah,
I'm
but if I said I got right roasted the other night, everybody knows that I got like you know roasted by my friends.
I feel like
if I say I got fried the other night, everyone assumes I smoked a lot of weed. Like,
well, different story. I feel like roasted and fried have two different slightly different connotations, though. Like, roasted is just, like it's a roast. Like, it's meant to be, like, very just joking and things like that. Whereas fried is a little more, like no, it's less of a... It's, like, it's humorous, but, like, what's wrong with you?
When it's classy, it's sautéed.
Yes. I'm getting sautéed right now.
Saucepan.
Some, you know, caramelized onions.
There are so many letters, and they just can't read. Exactly.
Yes.
I have discovered recently that over the past couple months, that the average person does not have the literacy that I thought they did.
Really?
Yeah, as I've had to communicate with a lot of people through certain work channels, I have learned that a lot of Americans do not have great grasp of written English.
That's unfortunate.
Our education system is failing completely.
I have a better grasp of written English than I do spoken. When I speak, I sound dumb, but when I write, I sound pretentious. Right, Archie?
Someone has to hold the rope while I run upstairs in the woods.
I love that we have someone in our chat that people can respond to by saying, Daddy, OMG, yes. And it's in no way anything but innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Even though...
Arson says, y'all need to, for $500, wear a full face of makeup. All right. I'll let Kat give me a makeover live on stream.
Why not?
For the Lore Lounge. If you guys hit $500 this month.
Might as well.
Yeah, here. Aiden.
Are these...
Well, we need those because we got to do thank you notes. Yeah, just give me that. That'll work. Yeah, let's take... We're an hour and a half in, so we'll end the show here. But help us pick donation goals. Tell us what you want.
Yes.
So for... I got June.
Yep. So 250, 500, 750, and 1,000?
Yep.
So 500 is the makeover? Archie. Hi, boy.
Let's see, we got full face makeup.
250 should 250. Be a metal cover of the Bob the Builder theme song.
I'm not that good at music.
I was going to say, neither am I, but we can try. I'm still trying to learn music theory so I can get better at guitar. How's it going? How do you think?
He's already better at guitar than I am.
I don't know about that. You very significantly improved when they forced you to try and learn 40 songs in 3 weeks.
PJ, if you're still there, I am better at guitar as a result of you and Johnny. let's see. 250 should be a metal cover. The only problem with that is recording it is really difficult.
Well, the stuff
I could just get the actual music and scream over it.
Yeah, you could do that.
This is
but the stuff we recorded didn't sound... I mean, it sounded pretty good, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but...
For what it was.
Metal is a bit more difficult.
Yeah, that's valid, yeah. And we also don't have, like, a drummer or...
bassist. More than I have access to those things, but...
Oh, true, yeah. Make an exclusive.
You guys never pick stuff that's actually connected to the theme of the channel.
No,
I
not
love
even
that.
Close. I kind of, it's fun.
Play Skyrim for six... I already did stream Skyrim a couple of times, and, like, five people watched.
That's because Twitch has no discoverability.
I would happily stream Skyrim if people were going to watch it. Like, I won't even do that for money. Donation goal, make Mattis hold bugs. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't like them.
250, make an exclusive episode of your opinions on your community. Like, my community isn't where I live, or, like,
I think
you guys.
I think them.
We still have to do the roast.
Oh, God. Why'd you have to remind me that? I don't want to do the roast. If it's a community roasting us, then fine.
Why are you so scared of letting our friends roast you?
Why do you think?
Yeah, they know too much.
Yeah.
All right, Kalen. Unless it's Callan, but Callan, however you pronounce your name. If you record the music, I will do the Bob the Builder theme song. Because we always hit the 250.
Yeah.
So the 250 is kind of a bonus goal for you guys, because we always
Screamo
hit it.
Screamo Bob the Builder.
Incredible. And I do know how to scream.
You do. He's very good at screaming.
I'm not very good at screaming. I know how to scream.
He's very good at screaming.
Specifically
in musical contexts.
If you get 1,000, you have to find the real Windusy. That gives me too many ideas.
Yeah.
For 1,000, we will make a rom-com short film where you and I get into a love triangle with the Wendigo.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
100%. Actor / actress playing the Wendigo, TBD.
Yeah, we gotta figure that one out. It's Norman.
Yes.
Norman
yes.
In drag?
100% yes.
He'd probably be down,
He's
too.
Way too attractive in drag anyway.
That's true.
So,
it's
like...
weird. The opinions on the place I live. Oh, yeah. I'm all down for that. I'll do that for free. I love where I live. You do realize who you're talking to, right? I'll drop 400 bones by the end of this month. That's true.
Okay. What? Would you shush?
We want to get to a place where the 250 and the 500 are both a given.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that would be nice. Come on. For $300, roast your local community. I'll tell you what, I will have my local community roast me for $750.
Yeah, do that.
All right, yeah. For $750, I will organize my Phoenixville friends and have them roast me.
There we go.
There we go. Phoenixville roast.
Cool, we got it.
All right, there we go.
I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, we are both... Oh, yeah, I guess if Captain Alien's here, he can be our Wendigo. All right, we need a Wendigo love triangle.
Oh, God.
Good
we
Lord.
Love it.
That's not too far off of the theme of We Went Camping.
We're just going to...
Now that I think about
we're
it...
We're going to write and film two
which,
very
by the
different
way,
versions
I'm,
of...
I'm finishing.
Yeah.
I'm making it longer, like 100 pages.
Yeah.
And we might be pitching that one to a certain somebody, too.
Oh, let's go, baby. We love that.
I got some very exciting news this week that I can't share yet.
Extremely exciting.
Be
proud of your boy. He
but
deserves it.
We might be pulling off something pretty
something,
cool very soon.
Something fierce.
So not your friends, random people on the street.
Oh yeah.
Just on the street tell people, hey you, what's wrong with me?
Wait, do that.
Hey, what's wrong with me?
You might kind of a question for your therapist.
It's valid. My therapist is ghosting me. that's not a joke.
That sounds like a Green Day lyric.
My therapist was like, hey, can you hand in this this survey about ADHD? And then I didn't do it for 3 months because I kept getting distracted.
Naturally.
So, yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna walk over to Insomnia Cookie.
Cool.
I think that's going to be my night.
There you go.
Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. Next weekend, we will be discussing our experience doing our own Missing 411 documentary. And the following one, we will actually talk about what I had planned to talk about tonight after I have time to research it and we don't immediately get off track because of multiple technical difficulties and Aiden being late.
Yep. We needed an off-track episode.
We
it's
did need an
while.
Off-track episode. We had to get this out of our system.
Yeah, we did.
But anyway, we will see you guys on the flippity flip.
Adieu.